Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few moments, I'm going to ask you to stay with me. We're going to do about 30 minutes of some motivation, inspiration, education, but no manipulation. Because we don't try to con anyone. We have any agendas here. We are not trying to raise money. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to ask you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. All I would like to ask you to do is listen up. That's right, just listen. Listen to me as I present to you the most phenomenal truth you've ever known. How to live a life free of worry. How to live a life free of stress. How to live a life free of bitterness and jealousy. You say that's not possible. Well, it is possible, because that is the Christian life when it's lived to its fullest extent. That's right. This is a show about the Bible. It always has been. In the 5 or 6 years we've been on the air, that's what we do. We teach the Bible under the concept of the flat line. FLOT stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And what we're doing is showing you through a military analogy. We're using that military analogy to show you how you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. Because even though adversity is inevitable, stress is always optional. And that's because adversity is what a series or a set of circumstances will do to you, and stress, well, that's simply what you do to yourself. So by learning the unique problem-solving devices found in the Bible, using them, you can, in fact, live a life free of worry, free of anger, free of bitterness. You see, you don't have to let people control your life, and you don't have to let circumstances control your life. You can control your own life. And that's what's important about the plan of God. God has designed a plan for you. God was in business before you got here. And God will be in business long after you're gone, I assure you. So He has designed a plan. And that plan is for you and I so that we can operate in this world or this dimension that we find ourselves in. It's called the devil's world in the Bible, and if you're a Christian, you find yourself right in the middle of it. God has put all of this information down. Everything that I will tell you or I will attempt to explain to you, it all comes from the Bible. That's the textbook of this course. God does not reveal His plan today any other way. If you've had some vision, some dream, some voice that came out of the wilderness, and that voice said that He's God, that's not the way it works. You might need to see a doctor. Because God reveals Himself through the Bible, through the Word of God. Hebrews says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. In the Old Testament, yes, He did reveal Himself by means of dreams and visions and certain appearances. But in the New Testament, we have been given the canon of Scripture. We have been given the Bible. It is alive. It is a picture of Jesus Christ. It is the revealed Word of God. And everything that you need to know about God, everything you need to understand about Christ, it's all in the Bible. It is the only source of information about God's plan that is available. All of God's revealed truth, all of God's doctrine, it's all found in the Bible. Now, there are a lot of different Bibles out there, and I can't suggest which one that you get, but I can tell you this. My pastor uses the original Greek New Testament or the Hebrew Old Testament or the Aramaic. He goes into the original languages, and he will dissect what's in the English. Remember, the Bible was not written in English. I've had people say, the King James Bible was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. There was no King James Bible when Paul was around. Paul wrote many of his prison epistles, and he wrote them in Greek. And from the remnants that we have, or from the copies that we have, we can verify and identify what he was saying in the translations that we have today. So remember that. God reveals himself in the Bible. Now, if you want to learn about God, if you want to understand about God, there's some things that you should examine. There are some propositions that I would like to give you today. And they are important if you want to understand God. It's critical. And a lot of people, you know, I run into people sometimes, and they claim to be atheists. They claim they don't believe in God. I remember one fellow saying one time to another person, said, you don't believe in God? And he said, no, I don't believe in God. And he said, well, did you go to Mars? And the guy said, no. He said, well, how do you know that God was not on Mars when you were looking for him here on Earth? And the guy said, well, that's silly. They sent a rover to Mars, and that rover didn't see God at Mars. And the guy said, well, maybe God was on Pluto while they were at Mars. And so that's the situation. If you say there is no God, you've almost got to be God yourself to prove it. And you're not God. So you have to understand God does exist. Whether or not you think it's true, God does exist. Whether or not you believe it, that's not important at the moment. Because if you say, and people do say this, there is no God, then the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that sort of person is foolish. He's arbitrary. And if they want to make a statement that's more consistent, if God is there, I don't believe that God exists. That might be a more consistent statement. But at least express itself. And this is, my pastor once said this. He said, if you truly do not think God exists, then at least express the concept by making a statement that shows you're a logical thinker. Now, there are three ways to determine anything is true. The first one we know as rationalism, and the second one we know as empiricism, and the third one we know as pisticism. I'll explain these to you. Rationalism is how we determine truth or reality through reason. Empiricism is how we determine truth or reality through what we see, touch, taste, hear, or smell. And pisticism is from the Greek word faith, and it's how we determine reality through confidence in the authority or the veracity of someone else. And so if you get on an airplane, you have faith that that airplane is going to fly. And empirically, you've seen it happen before, and you have faith that it'll carry you. And sometimes we have to rely on all three of these to get reality. So if we say God exists, and we do say that, and we do believe that by faith, that he's always existed, then the question is, and this is a question, who is he? What is he? And the only way we can answer this is through the Bible, because God reveals himself in the Bible. You see, if God does exist, and if he is all-powerful and he's sovereign, then it follows that he has something to do with us being here, right? I mean, if he created man, logically, he could reveal himself to us. And if he's always existed, and if he created us, then it makes sense that he would reveal himself to us so that we can understand him. In other words, why would he have created us if he doesn't want us to understand him? So God makes sense. He makes sense. He revealed himself in a way that makes sense. And he has a plan. It's a perfect plan. And that plan is for you and me to understand God's will for our life. So the object shifts from God to me now. I am the object of God's plan. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. So if there's a God, and if he revealed himself, and if all of that really does make sense, then he does have a perfect plan for every member of the human race, including you, including me. And you know, and at least we ought to listen to the plan. We ought to at least consider it. I mean, if we owe God a hearing, right? A hearing. Listening. That's what I tell you at the beginning of the show every week. I want to give you information, no gimmicks, no games, information. And all you have to do is listen. And if you listen, you can learn. If you learn, you can apply. But the demon in the woodpile, as far as God goes, is religion. Religion, not Christianity. Religion. Religion can hide the plan of God. Religion can deceive the human race. And I'm going to make a bold statement. Religion is the tool of the devil. It's not Christianity. Christianity is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Religion is man trying to approbate God and trying to get to heaven based on what he does. Christianity is man going to heaven based on what Christ does. So religion is not Christianity. Biblical Christianity reveals that only the work of God through Jesus Christ provides the way for us to have salvation and an eternal relationship with God. That's why it's important to understand that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He illuminates the plan of God for us. And if we understand God's plan, God's way of salvation, then we can fulfill God's will in our life. You see, God's plan must contend with me. I'm a human. I have a sin nature, and so do you. You don't believe that? Listen, who sat you down and taught you how to lie? Who sat you down and taught you how to be jealous? Who sat you down and taught you how to hate? That's your sin nature. And don't tell me you've never lied. Don't tell me you've never been jealous. Don't tell me you've never, ever, ever hated anyone or been bitter towards anyone. Yes, you are a person. And the biggest tests we have in life are other people, especially people that treat us unfair or people that want to manipulate us. So yes, we must understand that. We are sinners. We have a sin nature. The best of us and the worst of us. Our sin natures may be different. Someone's sin nature may not agree with the things that my sin nature agrees with. For example, someone's sin nature may have a trend towards being a thief. Another person's sin nature may have a trend towards immorality. Another person's sin nature may have a trend towards power. And so sometimes sin natures have two or three of these trends. So if you take a person who has a power lust or sex lust or drug lust, this is the sin nature. We all have a sin nature. And sometimes people say, well, I've never done drugs, I've never been drunk, Listen, sin comes in three areas: what you think, what you say, and what you do. And it is true sometimes that certain individuals never have done certain things, but that does not mean they haven't sinned. I've known wonderful, sweet Christian ladies that would never harm a bug, but you let a tornado come blowing down through the south, and they head for the hills and panic and get scared to death. And instead of saying, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee," they panic. They break out in a sweat, and they're fearful. And what are they afraid of? They're afraid of dying, afraid of being killed in the tornado. Well, that's a sin. Fear like that, we know that to be a sin. So that's a mental attitude sin. Or saying something is a sin. You know? Judging someone, the Bible says don't judge other people. before in Matthew 7. With what you measure, it's going to be measured back to you again. So sin comes in different ways. And God's perfect plan has to contend with my sin nature, with my flaws, with my imperfections. Because no matter how good I think I am, or how good you think you are, we just don't measure up to God. God is absolutely righteous. He's perfect. And the Bible says that we are absolutely unrighteous. The Bible says there are none that are righteous, no, not one. So if we want to have a relationship with God, we've got to have that perfect righteousness that He does. And we don't get it by being good. We don't get it by tithing. We don't get it by not drinking. We don't get it by not smoking. You get it from 2 Corinthians 5:21. Quoting now, listen, "He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so we may be made the righteousness of God through Him." How do you get equal righteousness with God? You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. On the cross, He took your sin. And when you come to the cross, He gives you His righteousness. And that's why you can have a relationship with God. Your human nature created a barrier between God, and only Jesus Christ breached the barrier. God designed a way so that we could come to Him, so that we could know Him, so that we could enjoy Him. And it starts with our salvation. It starts with us believing in Jesus Christ and receiving Him as our Savior. See, God provides all of this in grace. Grace. You say, what's grace? Well, grace is the policy of God in bestowing all of His favor on you and I. See, there's nothing we can do to earn this grace. Grace is all God has done for us, but it's based only on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says clearly, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest someone would boast about it." So people, people have to understand that this is the grace of God. In Isaiah 30, verse 18, the Bible clearly says these words, "The Lord will wait so that He may be gracious to you." There's grace. "And therefore He will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is indeed a God of justice, and happiness belongs to the ones who wait for Him." Yes, He's a God of grace. He's a God of justice. The justice of God judged Jesus Christ for my sin, not me, Christ, because He was the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, that took away my sin. He couldn't judge me. I wasn't qualified. I wasn't a good substitute. I was a sinner. But Christ was the perfect substitute. And the justice of God judged Jesus Christ, so that now the righteousness of God can have a relationship with me based on my faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And it's true for you too. That's why you and me, God's plan for our life starts at the cross. That's the first phase of this thing. The cross, that's where it starts. Where Christ was judged for every sin of the human race, where He became a substitute for our guilt, where He received the penalty for all of our sin, where He bore our sin in His body on the cross. And that's why in God's plan, this will reconcile the depravity of our sin nature along with His holiness or His perfection, so that we can have a perfect relationship with God. That's critical you understand that. You can't earn God's favor. You don't discern God's favor. It is a free gift of grace from God. It's essential you understand that. At the moment of physical birth, the moment we came out of our mom, we came out a person with a soul. Oh, it's invisible. It's our essence. It's something that no one can see. But it is that part of us that's going to heaven. See, our soul and our spirit, if you're a Christian, your soul and spirit are going to heaven, and you're going to get a new body, a resurrection body. If you're not a Christian, you don't have a spirit. You are dead spiritually. You have a soul, you have a body, but you're dead spiritually. And thus, you must be born again, the Bible says. Born again means to have a spiritual birth. In order to have a relationship with God, you must be born again. Does that make sense? And it doesn't, you see, that even confused Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And he was a very smart, very wise Pharisee. He couldn't understand, how could I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, I'm surprised at you. You don't understand this. And he explained that it was a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. Becoming a Christian is a spiritual birth. The Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. You can have a new life in Christ. Look at your life right now and look what you've done. Look at where you are. If you would like to have a brand new slate to work off of, if you would like to have a clean board, then you accept Christ as your Savior. And that's why it says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Every sin you've ever done in the past has been judged on the cross and paid for. And it's all available to you. You see, you have a sin nature. I have a sin nature. And that's why we rebel against God, even as Christians. That's where we are tempted to disobey God. This is called the flesh in the Bible. The Bible says we actually have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the flesh, the sin nature, always seeks to influence and control our thinking. See, God gave you a brain. God gave you mentality. God gave you the ability to think. And Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his mind, so he is. So the real you is not what you look like. It's what you think like. If God wants to judge you, he's not going to look at your image and your style. He's going to look at your thoughts. He's going to see what you are thinking. That's the real you. And therefore, it's critical that you understand God's plan involves a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. If you become a Christian, the Bible says you have to learn the mind of Christ in Philippians 2:5. And in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Bible is called the mind of Christ. So as we develop the mind of Christ, we develop divine viewpoint, thinking like Christ thought, and we think in a different way. As Romans says, stop thinking of yourselves in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. And so the first thing that happens to the Christian, if he wants to learn God's plan, if he wants to grow up, he must learn to control his sin nature. And the only way he can do that is to learn a different way of thinking, to learn that his deprived nature came into existence as the fall from Adam. The Bible says that in Romans 5:12, that he has a sin nature. You got one, I've got one, and we do not have to let that sin nature control our life. We have a new way of living. We have a new life in Christ. So if I come to Jesus Christ and I receive him as my Savior and I'm made a new person, then I have to have a new way of thinking. And that new way of thinking is divine viewpoint. And that divine viewpoint is found in the Bible. And that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus himself said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the only thing I want you to do is learn. Learn God's plan. Execute God's plan. Those of you that have been listening to this show for several years now, you are learning. You're learning what God is like. You're learning what Christ is like. You're learning what you are like. You're learning what they expect out of you. And it's not for you to run around and be a crusader. It's not for you to run around and straighten out the devil's world. Do you know that prayer can change a lot more than crusading? Do you know that? Prayer can change. Prayer has a powerful impact. So if there's something going on you don't like, get involved in praying about it, praying for it, asking God to influence it. Prayer is answered by God. When you pray correctly, God answers that prayer. But crusading, getting a sign, marching up and down, that's not prayer. That's you trying to clean up the devil's world. That doesn't work. And you weren't sent here to clean up the devil's world. You are here to represent Jesus Christ and to offer the good news. The good news is that our sins have been paid for. We can have a relationship with God, that God has a plan for our life. That plan is grace. It's free. It doesn't cost a dime. And if we will learn it, we can have a life free of worry, free of guilt, free of bitterness, free of fear. The Christian life, the most exciting life in the world. I hope you've been listening, and I hope you'll come back next week. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.